The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am. I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the sayings hold true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for what you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you.
just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
She's talking to this Messiah who is to come, wondering. Maybe that's us as well, as we are having trouble fighting the voices that are in our heads, or the voices on the news or on Facebook or whatever is around us at this time. As we are sitting here together or online wondering what is going to happen next. What will we be able to do? How can we be together in community during this unprecedented pandemic? So we wonder, and these voices are all around us. This woman, too, wondered when she came to that well at noon, a time when hopefully no one else was going to be there, maybe so that others wouldn't be summing her up by all of her life's lows and challenges. Because we think often that this woman has fallen on hard and bad times and is not accepted by this community because of her situation. But today, at the well, everything changes. This picture that you see on your screen, if you are at home, I would encourage you to Google Jesus Mapha, M-A-F-A, and you will find this picture of the woman at the well. It was created in the 1970s by a French missionary, François Lapelle, who went to Cameroon, Africa. And he was there to be a part of a team of people, theologians, and village folks that were trying to figure out how to teach the Bible to those in that particular community who needed to see Jesus as a black man. And so they collected folks and they began to teach stories, and the folks gathered around and reenacted those stories, and François took pictures. And then he created paintings. There's about 70 in this collection. I invite you to take a look. But this woman, to me, shows great surprise and great awe and hopefulness in this life-changing moment. You can see it in her face, and then you can see the compassion in Jesus' face, that there is no judgment coming from Jesus. He simply has compassion, knows her brokenness, recognizes that her life has been tragic and difficult, and sees her and values her, and then gives her a new identity. She exists. She is not invisible. She has worth. And this is all likely very new to her. These are not things that she would know. So I would wonder what it's like to be seen and to be challenged. Maybe these words will help. Ooh, oh, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I believe, Jesus, you tell me that I am loved, I am strong, I am held, I belong. I believe. She believes she is entirely known by Jesus, and this being known enables her to know him. So she's emboldened to ask the question, one of those central questions that has divided Jews and Samaritans for centuries. Where is the proper place to worship? Here on this mountain on which we stand, or in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, neither. He says, I am. I am. I am standing right in front of you. I think it's very cool that this woman is the first recipient of the absolute I am in this particular gospel. And then is engulfed in this new relationship and new identity that changes everything. And she lights up in surprise and in joy. And maybe she proclaims these words.
The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity.
Ever been so excited about something you can't help but run and share it and shout it, including those words, I believe? No? Okay. Well, I was working on this sermon at Panera Bread in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and I had my headset on so that I could hear the words and not disrupt everyone, but apparently by this point in the song, I had listened to it so many times I was singing out loud. Sorry, Panera people. But people were looking at me crazy, and the manager actually came along and had to say, honey, you're singing out loud. Oh, see, it's so much funnier earlier. I must be losing my touch now. That's okay. But again, to shout out, I believe, or maybe this will help you. Like, when I was growing up in Nebraska, my brother and I, on a hot summer day, we would run outside to the end of the hose and shove it in our mouth, and the other one would turn on the spigot, and the water would just gush out of our nose and up our nose, and... Right? It was so exciting. Like, we wanted to be the first to the end of the hose or the one to turn on the spigot. That was usually my brother. And it was just so exciting to be in that moment. Maybe you're not shouting, I believe, but this hope that we see, this sharing that happens, begins here. You'll see this woman in this depiction holding out this cup as Jesus is asking for a drink of water, and this woman is saying, are you crazy? Dude, you don't even have a bucket. And the well is deep. And I imagine Jesus thinking, indeed, the well is deep. And it's for you. Right? And this exchange happens here, this exchange of the eternal and the hopeful, where abundant life is being offered. This living water of I am. I am is seeking to flood the driest and the darkest places of our lives as well with this living water that will change everything for us. There's no need for a bucket because this water continually flows. And so we proclaim.
Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
She literally dropped everything. Did you remember that in the story? She dropped her cup, she dropped her jug, and she went. She laid it at Jesus' feet. She leaves it all there in her excitement and in her surprise and in her wonder and in her joy that she has been seen, that Jesus sees her challenges, her problems, her fears, her anxiety, and her doubts, and with compassion tells her she is enough. She has value, and she is filled. And once she knows that she is enough, she can't help but turn outward and be alive. This living water is gushing from inside her, spilling out like a flowing fountain, leaving puddles everywhere she goes as she splashes them all over the village people. Oh, that got a laugh at 9:30 too, I'm just saying. She splatters it all over the people, and they are soaking it up like a sponge. They are thirsty people for this gift that makes us alive. Because you see, folks, when we lay down our fears and anxiety, Brené Brown recently wrote about this, if we don't lay down our fears and anxiety, they can drive us to be self-focused in our everyday life, and especially in a time when we live in crisis, where the choices that we make affect everyone, where we are interconnected. And this gospel, this good news, gives us the identity of God as God's people, people who continue to encounter this living water as it rushes through us and makes us alive, even in our concerns and our challenges and our wonders. So I wonder, in this time, as we figure out how to love our neighbor in our everyday lives, but especially in this time of crisis, as we learn to love ourselves in and through what comes our way today and in the next days and months ahead, I wonder how we can share this good news alive in community, in faith, in truth, knowing that we are loved and we are valued and we are held and we are strong because we proclaim that we believe. You say I-